To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. The adventures of Alibi Jones continue on Glow in the Dark Radio as we are into the meat of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. But if this is your first time listening, or first in a while, or you need a little catch up, let me set up the story for you so far, so you won't be lost as we head into things. Alibi Jones is trying to rescue his Aunt Anita. She had gone missing. He tracked her down. He found her in this asteroid belt, far off the beaten path. She wasn't all that happy that he tracked her down. She's like, I don't need saving. I'm not a damsel in distress here, Alibi. But before she could complain too much, all of a sudden Alibi kind of went blank. Frozen place, blank expression on his face. And then he left the bridge of his ship, like he's possessed. See, the thing is, Alibi has an alien that's kind of, or part of an alien that's sort of become part of his lower leg. The so-called ghost ship turned out to be an alien entity, or a gathering of alien entities, called the Rodae. And they helped repair damage they did to Alibi's leg by kind of becoming a part of him, which has led to all kinds of problems. It hadn't really seemed to affect Alibi too much until just now, where all of a sudden he seems to be possessed, and maybe it's by these aliens, the Rodae. So, we gotta find out what's going on, and that's what we'll do. Alibi, a man possessed. We'll see what's going on as we get into Chapter 30 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Before I get into the chapter, just a little bit of news. I want to remind you that my new short story collection is out, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. You can get that as an audiobook, an ebook, a paperback, however you like to read or listen. It's available now. Just go to my homepage, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, to get more details or links to the book. I just finished working on another audiobook, which is really just more a collection of facts. It's called Interesting Astronomical Information. So that should be coming along sometime soon. Of course, The Rhine is out there by R.L. Dean, the most recent fiction piece that I've narrated. And The Productivity Method, which is a very helpful book. Which gives me a chance, too, to remind you that I do narrate audiobooks. So if you need a narrator, or if you need any kind of professional voice work, please get in touch. glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com might just be the easiest way. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter too, though. afterthere.com, /Mike Luoma, MikeLuoma. And a reminder too, if you're enjoying the book we're listening to on this podcast, you can get that at Audible. It is available now. We're listening to Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. So if you like what you hear this episode and you want to keep going, you can get the audiobook. Or if you like this episode and you want to hear the earlier part of this novel, then you can go back through the podcast, but you can also just pick up the audiobook. And again, more details on that at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's enough news. We've got Chapter 30 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flesh Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. 200 miles below the surface of the Earth, at the terminus of a series of long-sealed caverns and interconnected shines. Under the shadow of the eternally bleeding eye, there is a crippled wreck of a man writing tales. Stories of a dimension engulfed in madness. He is writing them of you. Sing Them All at fleshpulp.com or search for it on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 30 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi soared among the stars, through a yellow-green gaseous nebula, and then beyond, into a deep starless void. He sensed, more than saw, pinpoints of light that might, upon exploration, become pulsars, white dwarfs, black holes, nebulae, or even new galaxies as yet unseen. Amazing to travel like this as I dream.
We can do it as you wake as well, the Oneness said. Even now, we have pulled you outside of yourself. Your unit body ship is awake. We control it for you.
Wait, what? Alibi tried to come back to himself.
What are you doing?
The Oneness asked. I want to wake up.
We told you, the Oneness said. You are awake, just not conscious within your unit body ship.
Alibi tried to will himself back into his own body.
Never felt detached like this before.
You are denying the Oneness.
The Oneness, the voice of the Roday, informed him.
We must seal you off for now.
The stars dropped away. Alibi felt suddenly small, claustrophobic. Back inside his own skin, yet wrong. Detached. He could see through his own eyes, but only as if through reversed binoculars. Feel like a prisoner in my own body. I long for the ride, but I can't control anything. Not that Alibi's body was out of control. On the contrary, he walked in a rapid, rigidly controlled manner, and marched from the bridge down to the cruiser's airlock. There, he pulled on an EVA suit and double-checked his oxygen supply. Well, something double-checked it. The Roday had control of his body, shunting him away to a small space at the back of his brain where he could watch but not act. Some of the humans the Oneness absorbed knew their way around EVA suits. The thought came to Alibi.
Where did that thought come from? Where am I to have it?
Alibi tried to focus his thoughts.
My name is Alibi Jones, and I want my body back.
You will have it, the Oneness of the Roday replied. We just need to fly your unit body ship for a time.
Fly my ship?
Use your controls. Operate your mechanism,
the Oneness said, in its chiming chorus of voices.
Steal my body!
Not stolen, the Oneness said. Still here.
But you're keeping me from using it. You've shut me out.
Your assistance is not required at this time,
the Oneness informed him. While they'd argued, Alibi's body walked into the airlock, a flesh puppet for his Roday masters.
Hate to admit Van and Curry were right.
After the airlock cycled and the outer hatch opened, they made his body launch itself out into deep space. Alibi floated into the void. Inside the EVA suit, Alibi's leg warmed, the leg with the Roday embedded in it.
Red lights!
The suit's emergency indicators flashed on simultaneously, but just as fast, they all flashed back to normal. Though the Roday were not sharing the Oneness with him, Alibi felt knowledge seep through into his mind. The Roday substance had penetrated the skin of the EVA suit from the inside out. It flowed off his alien calf muscle, down his leg, off his heel, and out through the external surface of the suit, sealing its way behind. The Oneness stretched
web-like tendrils of the black substance up around the outside of the right leg of his EVA suit, surrounding it in a black, crystalline mesh. The Rode substance spread up over the knee of the suit. Tendrils whipped around his waist, shot down the other leg, and began encasing it in the black. Others crept up over his chest, up his back, connecting at his shoulders. As the dark membrane thickened and filled in between the tendrils, new shoots crawled down the outside of the arms of the EVA suit, surrounding both in turn. The substance arced up over his suit's helmet, but didn't thicken. The thinnest of membranes coated the clear surface of his faceplate. Alibi was soon covered, from head to toe, by the black Rode substance. The exterior began to glisten the way the great old ship had. With that thought, Alibi realized the hulking Leviathan was directly below his feet. "What are you doing? Why encase me like this?"
"Your suit alone cannot protect you in the battle to come," the Oneness said. "You need stronger armor."
"Battle? We're fighting someone?"
"We fight ourselves."
Alibi tried again to reassert control of his body. The Rode held him back.
"The great ship, as you call it, is sick. We fight inside ourselves."
"Why don't I feel this?"
"You have been isolated from it, from them, for they know you."
"Your sickness knows me?"
"Yes. We hope your knowledge will help defeat them."
"You keep saying them. Who are they? A part of yourself?"
"Now, but not always," the Oneness said. "We fight the hunger. It has invaded the great ship, and even now fights to take over the Rode and the Oneness. Most of us are occupied in the great ship, fighting the ongoing battle, but a few smaller independent flows remain isolated outside the conflict to work with you in hopes of remaining whole."
"The hunger? You mean the ancient enemy?" Alibi thought of Azamet and recalled his vision of the elite of the people's failed return and transformation into a greedy mass of bioelectric soul power.
"Yes,"
the Oneness said.
"You do have the knowledge. That is our enemy."
"That's my enemy, too. I'd like to help you fight them. I want to help you fight them. But I can't."
"Why not?"
"I can't like this. I need my body back." In a thought, Alibi was back inside his own brain, seemingly in command of mind, body, and soul once more. He moved his arms and legs, turned his head. "That's better." He took a look down at the great ship below. "Much better, thank you." Although it now covered his entire EVA suit, the Rode substance didn't slow him up. If anything, it helped him move easier through the vacuum. He floated down towards the great ship. "Wonder what I look like from the outside." "Where is he?" Anita asked. She scanned the view screen, showing a feed from next to the airlock. "Are you sure he's gone out?"
"Yes," Kat said. "Or so it would seem. He put on an EVA suit and activated the airlock. It looks like he went into the airlock and then left the ship."
"I don't see him," she said. "There," Emily said. She leaned over and pointed out a black shape moving across the stars. "He looks weird." "Zoom in," Anita said. The screen didn't change. Emily leaned over Anita and touched the image of Alibi, and the picture refocused close around him. He glistened. His EVA suit looked like it was coated by something shiny and dark.
"What is all over his suit?" Kat asked.
"Good question," Anita said. "It looks like the stuff the ghost ship is made of," Emily said. "The stuff his leg was remade from." Alibi moved closer to the great ship. The tenebrous Leviathan loomed larger and larger. It filled his sight until all he could see was the glistening obsidian surface of the vessel. A thought bothered him, or the absence of a thought.
He tried to remember where he'd just been. It was important.
The battle is important,
the Oneness insisted.
That's it.
He'd been soaring through the stars with the Oneness, and now came home to find the great ship compromised.
The battle rages,
the Oneness whispered inside his mind.
We do not relish the reconnection as we ought.
Looks peaceful enough.
You have been kept safe from the battle until now. We have also been safe, apart, with you. You cannot sense it yet, but you will.
Alibi, can you hear me?
Alibi's Aunt Anita was speaking to him.
Where is she? Why is she talking to me now?
Alibi grew confused. He accused the Oneness.
You're doing something to me, clouding my mind. I can feel it.
The Oneness did not answer. He tried speaking. No sound came out.
You've not given me full control of my body back. You lied to me. Do it, or I don't help you. Do it! Now!
The events of the last hour became clear in Alibi's mind. He remembered the Rodei hijacking him, his unit body ship, and marching him off the bridge into this EVA suit he wore and out of the ship. Part of him watched himself do it, while most of his mind was sent for an excursion among the stars. That they could take over while he was awake surprised Alibi. He realized he shouldn't have been surprised. The Rodei had been controlling host bodies for years.
You condemn us?
The Oneness inquired.
You read all my thoughts?
They exist to us. There is no reading.
Alibi decided to test the Rodei's word. He stopped his forward progress towards their home ship.
Why do you stop?
Read my mind. You tell me.
You confuse the Oneness. You are in contradiction. You want to help us battle and defeat the hunger you call the ancient enemy. Yet you also want the Oneness defeated.
I want you out of my unit body ship, out of my life, and out of the worlds of the Solar Alliance. Not defeated, just gone.
But we have bonded with you,
the Oneness said.
Other humans might as well, though the others we have tried to take in have lost themselves in us.
You killed them.
Alibi didn't plan to let the Rodei off the hook for all the people they'd killed getting to know humankind.
They live on in us,
the Oneness said.
We really do, Captain Al,
Lenora Schwald's voice pierced and echoed through his mind.
Cut that out.
We have learned not to draw you humans out so deeply,
the Oneness said.
Not all are as fully rooted as you, Alibi Jones.
You have learned? You're still doing it?
The image of Dr. Humphreys appeared unbidden in his mind.
Humphreys?
His aunt told him Humphreys was fine, back when Alibi was still in quarantine. Escaped without a scratch, she'd said, if he recalled correctly.
What did you do to Humphreys?
The Oneness didn't answer.
He's not answering, Anita said to Kat and Emily. Those damn doctors were right. Whatever that thing is that rebuilt his leg, it's taken him over. Should have listened to them. Never should have lifted the quarantine. But he seemed fine.
He's been fine, Emily said. Well, you know, for Alibi. She grinned at her own humor. When Anita didn't, Emily frowned a little, then continued. There was no sign of anything wrong with him. At all. Until this.
Aunt Anita!
Alibi's voice echoed from the bridge's comm unit. She jumped at the sound.
Alibi, are you okay? She asked.
I think so, he said. I'm working with the Rodei. They're the life form we've been calling the ghost ship. Working with is loosely applied here, though. They're a parasitic sort of species, tend to take over host bodies and use them. They insist it's more symbiotic, but I'm not sure, so I'm trying to be careful.
Something took you over, she said. I saw it.
That was them, the Rodei, Alibi said. But they want my help. They're learning to be more accommodating.
Well, his aunt said, then paused. It sounds like you, Allie. But I warn you, you Rode, if it turns out you're making him say these things to me, I will obliterate you.
A silent moment passed before Alibi responded. I can hear them in my mind sort of speaking to me, Alibi said. And they point out they could speak through me to talk to you directly, but they thought it would be better if they asked me to instead relay their reassurance to you that they are not.
Anita's brow furrowed. She looked at Emily, who shrugged. Anita looked over at Kat. The Dakur suddenly found something fascinating on the view screen in front of him and studied it intently. She frowned.
I'm not sure that proves anything, Anita replied.
Hey, what happened to Dr. Humphreys? Alibi asked, changing the subject.
I don't know, Anita said. Did something happen to him?
Aunt Anita, did you let him keep a piece of something? Alibi asked.
Something from our mission?
He was going to study it for the project, she said.
I might have signed off on it to get both it and him out of my sight. I had other worries at the time.
And you never checked back with him on it?
Not yet, she said, a little defensive. The Rode say he...
Uh-oh, we've got company!
Two Solar Alliance Stinger ships materialized out of transpace. Over the asteroid belt.
That was Chapter 30 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, Alibi Jones is now part of the Oneness. He's maintaining his own individuality as well. But yes, getting a greater glimpse of the Rode again. And something's going on with Humphreys. Oh yeah. Wait for that. And of course now we have Solar Alliance Stinger ships in the area. So everything's going to get very interesting in the next chapter here. We race towards the last part of the book here. Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Chapter 31. On the way next time around. Again, a reminder, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, is available now. Paperback, ebook, audiobook. Just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com for all the details and links you need. And I hope you'll be back for our next episode as The Adventures of Alibi Jones continue. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.